welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, okay, there we go. Hello, welcome to episode 391, I think it is, of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm surviving.
Come on, you can do it.
I'm generally okay. I was just saying to you beforehand that since I've had the COVID thing, my lungs aren't right. When I breathe in, I get a kind of a, and it's hard not to cough if I breathe in too hard.
You can't quite get a lung full of air.
Yeah, and it's 12 weeks now. And I'd really like to go for a run or something, but I don't feel like my lungs could do it.
Really?
I've been for walks, but,
It's the real deal, this pandemic, isn't it, man? We're talking today about communication, really, and kind of couples stuff. I'm sure we'll try and swing it round to what planet Earth is experiencing, although what we are all experiencing is having a direct impact on the amount of couples work you are doing, which we'll come on to in a bit.
Very much, yeah.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Do sign up to the email list for your free meditation files, discount code for the book, and weekly alerts for the podcast as well. And all the previous episodes are online as well, and you can subscribe via iTunes and all that, all the usual ones we're on there. What have you been up to, Sean? How's life for a therapist at the moment?
It is amazingly busy. I mean, things do usually get busier coming up to Christmas because for lots of people, it's the first Christmas without somebody or it's an anniversary of something. Yeah. So you do get quite a lot of that. But I got this massive increase in couple stuff, which we were talking about. Personally, at home, we've been getting the Christmas trees down and doing the lights and all that kind of stuff, getting ourselves in the mood. But we're the kind of people that used to having like 14 people for Christmas dinner. I don't think we're going to be doing that this year, you know.
We're juggling. We're thinking about, well, I mean, it's a bit of a dilemma in it at the moment because you can have 2-3 groups round on Christmas or for that 4-5 day period doesn't mean you should. So, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to push the boat out and go as far as we can, I guess. But it is a bit nerve-wracking time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone around the country is having similar discussions, I'm sure, about who they're going to see and who's in their little Christmas bubble and all that stuff.
It's who do you offend, isn't it? Who do you not ask?
Who have you been dying, itching to offend for years and years? You finally got.
Now you got the excuse.
The excuse. I mean, I remember saying months and months ago that, you know, through the summer, early summer, when it was, you know, it's been a mad year, hasn't it? But I remember thinking that that was the easy part, Christmas, that winter would be the real tough bit. And here we are. And just this morning, we've had news about Debenhams and Arcadia, is it Topshop and all that stuff? Well, Debenhams is finished by the looks of it. And I think Topshop might be done too, which I don't say that with any real pleasure at, because
there's a whole load of family shop names that go with that. I mean, you've got Debenhams, Topshop, I think it's Burton's, what's it, Evans, you know, all that lot. There's a whole load.
Dorothy Perkins, I think.
That's the one, yeah. People off the high street, the names you're used to seeing, which won't be there anymore.
Yeah, so it's going to be a rough 4 or 5 months or so as that all filters out and we're all locked away in our homes.
But also, every time they talk about someone being made redundant, what I think of is that's a family. It's not one person. So if they say there's going to be, I don't know, 30,000 redundancies, that could be 150,000 people that are affected directly by that.
And just so it's not all doom and gloom, I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube, on the video stream, I'm recording this from a charity. I've been down at this charity I'm a trustee at. I've been helping them get set up online so they can take payments online and sell things through the website. It's been a quite strangely useful time for a charity like this. This is the Royal Society of the Blind, and you know, the last 5-6 years have been a real, every year is a struggle getting the funding in, you know, the grant funding and the contracts at the hospital that we rely on. We've always like just about scraped through the year, and there's been points when we've been in real crisis, but this at the moment, thanks to the hard work of some of the staff here, and the release of money to charities like this to kind of make time to rebuild. So we've had two really big crisis grants come through since this all kicked off, and it's allowed the charity to really kind of restructure and rethink about what we're going to be in the next 10 years. And it's been quite useful in a weird kind of way. So for all the horror out there, you'll see in the news, there are a lot of places that are using this as a chance to rebuild and build back better and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that to have the ability to stop and to take stock and to do the kind of analysis audit stuff is important. But that's what's happening with couples too.
Let's get
this on. Is forcing couples to stop.
Because what made you write this blog post about communication?
It was actually talking to other therapists who were telling me about how many couples they're dealing with, and I'm thinking, I'm dealing with lots of couples as well. We all are. And there's this realization when you talk to people that the amount of crisis in relationships is going up, just like the virus. And just as the high street's in crisis, I think in many ways, family homes are in crisis as well. And that's due to people spending more time together than they used to, being in areas of mind and time where they're lacking money, where they're feeling anxious, they're worried about where things are going next. And they're starting to get short-tempered in the immediacy. And whereas we'd always say we'd have two divorce seasons in the UK, one after Christmas, after people had been together for a while and couldn't cope with each other, so they decided to end, but also after the summer holidays in September, that kind of time. Whereas that seasonality of the divorces or the splitting up seems to have now be spreading through the year. I've been seeing it grow and grow. So I would suspect that this January, because even people that aren't married, they're just together, maybe been together for a long time, they still end up having legal battles over stuff, over kids, over money, you know, pensions, whatever. And I suspect that this January is going to be one of those peak years. You know, like they say, this has been the hottest January for, 30,000 years, whatever. I think we're going to have more split-ups in January than we've had in the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, it's important, I guess, to remember that. I guess, again, I'm assuming I should have dug this out, but maybe is marriage on the decline anyway? Is like a legal thing, or are people less?
Well, there are lots of people do other things, don't they? So they can have legal partnerships, but also lots of people that I work with that have been together for long years and had quite a few kids and all that kind of stuff. They're not in a situation where they've even thought that getting married was a good idea. Mm. You know, so I think that yes, the institution of marriage is probably not what it was. But that it still means that people do get together and go to the same issues of getting together, and then they do split up and go to the same issues of splitting up. The fact that they haven't got a piece of paper might make it a bit easier in some ways, but also more difficult in others, because they may not have some legal protection. You know?
Yeah, I think, as Groucho Marx said, I think marriage is a wonderful institution, but who wants to live in an institution? We're both married, aren't we, man? Happily so. Well, at least we will say on Zoom. We'll say on a Zoom call that we're happily married.
Oh, ecstatic. I enjoy being in an institution. It's really good.
Communication issues, getting down to the more like minute level, it's easy, isn't it? Maybe even more so. I was just thinking before we came on air, in this day and age where a lot of communication isn't done verbally like this, it could be done via text or via, you know, a WhatsApp chat, where it's quite easy to you know, even that someone forgets to put a kiss on the end of a message.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, World War III. What went wrong?
Yeah. You don't put kisses on the end of the messages anymore. What does that mean?
Yeah, or two kisses. Why not? Why only two kisses today? Why not three? Are you in a mood? Have I said something wrong?
What have I done?
Yeah. So communication is an art form, isn't it? And it's so easy to, you know, verbally or otherwise to send the wrong message when you say something.
One of the things that I was thinking about when we were doing this, it was Ree's birthday recently, so I did a menu. And I was playing with the menu for the diners. And when I was a kid, an aperitif ended up being called a pair of teeth. Yeah. And hors d'oeuvres were horses' douvres. That idea about something starts as a word, like aperitif, it turns into a pair of teeth, and then it gradually sort of slips into the language and becomes normality. I think I told you this before, there was a guy in Wales who was known as David 18 Months. And when I was trying to find out why he was called David, because, you know, you get David Two Cows and all that kind of stuff in Wales, David the Milk. So I'm saying, you know, why 18 months? And it turned out that he had had part of his ear bitten off in a rugby match and in a tussle, and someone had bitten his ear off. And he was started off being called Gavin. It was David. David, year and a half. In the end, year and a half became 18 months. So, do you know what I mean? It was the madness of the way things changed.
I remember when, not before we were dating, actually, before we were going out, my wife and I were like, our two friendship groups, me and my mates and her friends, kind of started hanging out together. You know, we'd meet up on Saturday night in Liverpool because there was a couple within the group, and we all started hanging out with each other. And my group of idiot mates from school that I went, you know, I've known since I was 11. You know, we've known each other that long, and you know, we're nice guys, but we're idiots, and we have our own little language, and our own little way of our own mad humour, and things we would say, and you know, things that we'd say that, you know, you couldn't say in a normal setting because they're just too offensive, or they're just, you know, they would just be taken the wrong way. So this other group of girls that kind of came into our gang, not all of them made the transition because not all of them could hack the pace and our humor. So a few kind of fell by the wayside. Thankfully, my wife kind of stuck it out, and she understood and got the humor. But yeah. I felt sorry for someone that couldn't quite hack it, you know.
the kind of thing that got me when I was thinking about this, and this really made me laugh because it came down on the Twitter feed, and it was Chris Abuzi who said his 13-year-old daughter thought that a prima donna was somebody who was born before Madonna, as in pre-Madonna. And it made me laugh that. But then I started to look at all the things that people say, and I was just looking a bit around the responses to him saying that. And the one that I really liked was someone who said, "I got a new Toyota," and someone thought that they got a Toy Yoda. I mean, that kind of thing. But even on a basic level, we miscommunicate all the time.
Yeah.
We think we've heard what other people say and we haven't.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, even if, yeah, it doesn't have to be just like mispronunciations. Or I've got my niece has got a Spanish-speaking mother, and my brother, he speaks Spanish, but they live in England, so they speak to her in two languages, and I think she's about 18 months now, maybe.
Yeah.
Up to two.
Yeah,
and she's just started kind of stringing sentences together and getting a bit more chatty. So my sister-in-law will speak to her, ask her a question in Spanish, and she'll reply in English.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing, incredible what the human mind is capable of, you know, and how quickly it can do it.
The trick with the language is which language do you think in? It's when you're having to translate from one language to another in your head. If you can think in the language you're trying to talk in, it really speeds up. It's easier then.
So we're hopefully going to see her over Christmas, actually. So looking forward to seeing what she's up to with all that. But getting back to kind of couples work, I mean, you know, a simple question like, or a compliment as to how someone might look in a certain outfit or a certain bit of clothing can be misconstrued quite quickly and easily, can't it?
Well, I mean, this is a classic. I've heard it a million times. It's the equivalent of someone says, you know, the man says to the wife, "Wow, you look really curvy in that." And she hears, "So you think I'm fat?" Yeah. And it's like, there's a series of things here. It's like, I say something. Now, you may not even actually have heard the words I've said, because you might reinterpret them into something else. But then the third part of it is you're deciding what I meant when I said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, how do we ever know that what someone says is what we mean? It's a bit like we both look at a colour and we both assume that we see the same thing. But the fact that we both call it green or blue or whatever is okay. But what my eyes are interpreting from those wavelengths and what your eyes are interpreting with those wavelengths could be completely different, but we think they're the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a situation in, well, usually at Christmas, like when we see my dad's a bit of a wine connoisseur, at least he thinks he is. So my wife's always terrified to buy the wine, you know, well, not just Christmas, if we have them, when we're allowed to blooming have them around for dinner or lunch or whatever. Because my dad's not very good at certain types of communication, so he'll make a comment about the wine, not meaning any offence, but my wife will take it as an offence because he's basically saying in her head, this wine is shite. It's cheap. Yes. So we're hoping that we'll see them at Christmas, and I've just texted him last week saying, "Dad, I've just ordered the turkey. You're sorting the wine."
Yeah.
Basically, just to kind of like beat off of the pass that conversation on Christmas Day, you know.
I can remember making some wine and giving it to someone, and they taste it and they said, "Oh, where does this come from?" And I said, "Just over there in the utility room. That's where I made it." And they said, "It doesn't travel well, does it?"
But I mean, yeah, we're getting back to we're having a good old laugh here, which is good. I hope everyone else is enjoying it as well. But you normally call Christmas and maybe times after the summer divorce season. So is this going to be divorce season on steroids? Because
yeah, I reckon
divorce doesn't look like that much fun from where I'm sitting. I know it is possible to have amicable and semi-friendly divorce. So we can talk about that in the future, actually, and we have done in the past. We could do an episode. It doesn't have to be
very, very appropriate in January, because you can negotiate an ending positively. It doesn't have to be acrimonious. Mm. It's just that in our, we live in a blame culture, where someone's got to be to blame. I can't just say, "Look, you know, this really doesn't work for me anymore. Is there some way that we could kind of work out how to end it?" I have to lurk around and wait for you to put the knife and fork around the wrong way and go, "That's it, I can't take anymore." You know what I mean? Rather than just being straight about what I'm feeling.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe we can talk about that and prepare people for Christmas so that they can, when the knife and fork is the wrong way around, or goodness knows what, or they've bought some cheap.
You know, but it's weird, isn't it? It's like when you first meet somebody and they put the knife and fork around the wrong way, you go, "Oh, isn't that sweet? Oh, you got that wrong. Oh," you know, when you've been together for a while and they start to really get on your nerves, it's like, "Bloody hell."
Yeah,
it changes completely. Yeah.
And that's another little sign, isn't it, that we're all not just to look for in people saying to us, but how we communicate with our partners and our friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, if you are using language as a way to just to get someone, you know, in little ways, but all those little ways can add up, can't they? And that person at the other end could be really starting to kind of wonder what the hell's going on. It's worth listening to our own language, isn't it, when we speak to people and when we text people.
But it's the meaning behind things, isn't it? It's like, to me, I'm not very clothes conscious. You know, I mean, I assume I don't really look like a tramp most of the time. But as far as I'm concerned, clothes keep the outside out and the inside in. I'm not really that bothered what they look like. But when I come down and Ree says to me, "You're not going out looking like that," I don't think, "Oh my God, I'm so insulted." I see that as her telling me that she loves me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think I got it the weekend. Yeah, she's much more forceful. I got, you look like a tramp. It's a bit harsh on tramps, you know. But yeah, I was dressed for going for a cold walk on the beach, man, and you know, rugged and ready. But I'm looking forward to a haircut. Actually, I must say, in the next week or so. yeah, you look like a tramp. There's not many ways you can take that apart. It's quite literal, isn't it, and quite direct.
I suppose it could be, "You look like a tramp, oh, but I really love tramps." You know, I guess if you've got to say something that's a bit difficult, you can actually sweeten it, can't you? Say, I really love you so much, and I'd love you even more if you didn't wear that coat. You know,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
as opposed to "you look like a tramp."
Like, digital communication is an art form in itself, and I like to think I have a good style of writing emails and a good tone. And sometimes my wife she doesn't send emails all day like me. She's working with kids, you know, hands-on stuff, proper work. And
real work.
But when she comes to write emails to parents, or, you know, messages that go out to far afield, she's not as experienced as me. And she'll get me to check a message, like, before it goes out to 30 parents or whatever it is, sets of parents. And quite often, yeah, I have to correct them, because her tone of email is a bit short and a bit snappy and a bit like, "Well," or too many exclamation marks or not enough. And so I think I'm quite good at like digital communication, whereas she's much better at, yeah, that verbal reasoning, with especially with kids and what have you. That's a proper art form in itself, you know.
I don't know. I think that the biggest problem that we have is that we say something and we assume that the person heard what we said or what we meant when we said it. And unless we take some time to check it out, we never know.
Yep.
Never know. We could have thought we've just had the most wonderful conversation with somebody and come away feeling really good, and they walked off feeling really offended and hurt. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you just threw in a comment then when you said, "Yeah, but she does real work. You know, she teaches, she does real work." Now, there could be lots of people that aren't teachers going, "Well, that's it. He thinks the work that I do is rubbish."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, how do we take what we hear? And do we take it as our stuff or their stuff? You know, who owns what?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am quite, I do offend people on a fairly regular basis. I mean, I was actually trying to have a pop at myself, so I guess you could probably analyze the language I used then when I said about proper work.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing an interview last year before we did the summer cycle, which was a family bike ride in the countryside here. I did an interview on Radio Merseyside, and the guy that was interviewing me was talking about how we were in this beautiful place and it was so picturesque and there was, you know, car free and all that stuff. And I was like, "Well, no, listen, if you just listen carefully, you can hear the buzz of the M53 as the grown-ups go about their business." it was a subtle kind of sly dig to all the people currently shuttling their way down a motorway. You know, I'm sure doing very important work and off to see people and family and friends, but it's like, come on, ditch your cars, man. Come for a bike ride this weekend. But yeah. Be careful. Yeah.
I think that all of us, especially now, really do need to pay attention to our communication, because it's so easy to be offending each other without even realizing.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you just pulled me up. I could have offended a lot of people. So, I mean,
and I'm really deeply offended by what you said.
Well, we did say before as well that, talking of proper work, maybe, you know, we've seen the death of the high street we're seeing now going on. We're going to need to retrain a lot of people in the world of therapy and counselling and that kind of thing.
I think that the effects of what's going on at the moment are going to be with us for a generation. Yeah. Mm. I think we've got all kinds of problems going on that we don't realise that will come out.
So don't you even think about retiring, Sean Offaday?
They won't let me retire. Every time I think I'll retire, I get another wave of things coming in. Sean, can you come to the... Yeah, okay.
All right, I'm going to link to a couple of relevant blog posts in the show notes, but have you got a resource of the week as well, Sean?
Well, my resource is an exercise. It's actually go and do this. You know, when people talk to you and you question it, actually ask them, actually say, when you said that, I heard blah, 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 blah. Is that what you meant? Yeah, and you'd be amazed if you actually do that, how often you get things wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it could be that someone says, well, do you want a cup of tea then? And you could say, when you said that, I heard that you think I'm a lazy bugger because I haven't got up and made you a cup of tea. Is that what you meant? Because very often it can be that. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. Or it could be, no, I don't. Yeah.
I do. It's fascinating, isn't it? Oh,
yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's
And endlessly fascinating, aren't we, human beings?
Yeah. I think the human consciousness, I mean, being able to crawl inside people's heads and have a look around is a real privilege. It's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Keep it up. All right. Well, my resource, I saw a blog post yesterday about feel-good movies, and it's that time of the year when you can kind of, you're allowed to shut yourself away and watch films endlessly. So, and two of them are the Paddington movies, 1 and 2, which I don't know if you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
They're just
good fun. Yeah.
Amazing, beautiful film. Like picture perfect version of London, which I just loved a bit. So I'll link to that. And I think we're all done. You happy, Sean?
I am. You're making me think about all the movies that I need to watch between now and Christmas, like the Polar Express and
can't wait.
The Holiday. There's all kinds of things. Yeah.
Home Alone. Yeah. Bring it on, man. Bring it on. You're making this. All right, Sean. Thanks very much for your time. I'll catch you again next week.
Yeah, you take care. Keep smiling.
See you, everyone.
See ya.
Ta-da. Bye.
Bye. Bye.